Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, come expecting to see the Lord do good things this morning. I tell you, it's not in my power or my ability, and we all know that, but I'm always looking to see what the Lord is going to do next. What a number. I tell you what, this is about as exciting as one of them Christmas Lifetime originals right here, you know. I tell you what, you know, it's kind of like that. You know, at the beginning of the movie, it kind of starts out and there's a problem and issue, but it's all about bringing everybody together. Isn't that something? It's kind of neat how that works out. I've been thinking a lot about this message this morning. I actually was studying this for tonight, for the program tonight, and I thought, well, this would be too long to try to preach a message for the candlelight service tonight. And I thought, well, I tell you, if this would kind of be the preemptive leading up to it, it'd be kind of ideal. Then I got to thinking, I'm like, well, what if all the people that were going to come to the candlelight service couldn't be there for the Sunday morning service to see what it was about? Welcome. I'm glad you're here. You know, heard a lot of these folks were going to plan on being here tonight, but it's amazing how the Lord does things. I just want to take time to say that because I've planned out things a lot, and I know we love having things planned out. We want things to be a certain way and want to know what to expect next. But I tell you, like I told the Sunday school class, the best times I've had in my life, I had no idea what the Lord was going to do next. I just didn't know. But He showed up and He did it His way, which made it the better way, that made it best. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Looking forward to tonight, and anything that the Lord has laid on your heart, we want to encourage you to do so. It's about being obedient. It's about doing what the Lord would have us to do. We talked a little bit this morning about worship and about being so happy that David was dancing. And, you know, if you're hearing your parent and you think about your child and you see them so excited that they're dancing, that's a cause of excitement for me, to see my son that excited. You know, and I got to thinking about how it was for David. And, you know, some people ridiculed David for what he was doing. But, you know, I think God was excited to see his son so happy. I believe that. And I'll ask you this. When was the last time you were so happy that you danced? Think about it. I'm not talking about worldly excitement. I'm talking about spiritual excitement. That's what the Bible is talking about.
Yes.
He's just so excited he couldn't contain himself anymore. That's a good place to be. That's where the Lord wants us to be. That's the entire reason why he came to this earth. If you will, let's turn to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8, plan on being just a few different places this morning on the topic of the light of the world. The light of the world, I think that's a good thing to talk about, preach on, if we're going to have a candlelight service and talk a little bit more about light. We started last week in preaching on it. I want to go a little bit further, maybe make a few more comments tonight, but this is where the Lord had laid it on my heart to be. Think about how important it is to be able to have light. You know how weird and strange it'd be to be here this morning if we didn't have light to see? Kind of dark. You think about the Gospels. Said this last week. The Gospels kick off and start after a time, what is called the Dark Ages, a dark period of time. 400 years of darkness where the Lord didn't speak to people. It's a dark time. You and I don't know exactly what that'd be like living in the time of grace, what we have here. That's nothing like the Dark Ages. 400 years, that's basically, you think about it, four generations of silence from heaven. That's kind of scary to think about. If you're here this morning, you're saved, you should have that inner dwelling speaking within your soul. See, that's what we have is saved people. If you're here this morning and you're lost, really pay attention to what the Word of God is saying. It's for you. Now, the whole reason why Jesus came to this earth, why He came and was born here, Emmanuel, God with us, the entire reason that He was here. Well, we'll start with John chapter number 8. We'll go a few places and then we'll have a time of invitation this morning. And you be praying. If you're here this morning and you're saved, pray for the lost. There's lost people here that need the Lord. There's saved people here that need the Lord too. Amen.
Amen.
We see here in John chapter number 8. Verse number 12, we'll start here and I'll pray, and we'll get into the message this morning. John chapter number 8, verse 12, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Father, we thank you so much, God, for what you're doing. Don't understand it, don't know everything, God, and never will. I never understand everything, God. But Lord, we're just so thankful that we have you to lean on. So thankful, God, that we can trust in you. And God, we want nothing less than your will to be done here this morning, God. Lord, I just pray that our hearts be in tune with you, Lord, that whatever it is that we need to do, that we would do it, God, not just praying, Lord, that that you do everything, God, but that we do our part, that we show our thankfulness. Lord, you completed the work on the cross. God, you went to the cross to die for us, Lord, that we would have a way of salvation. And God, we should show our appreciation and thankfulness for that, Lord, and not just today, but every single day. God, and I just thank you so much for dying on that cross for me, Lord, sending your son to die on the cross for me. And so unworthy, God, but you did it anyway. And God, I thank you so much for that. God, we thank you for all those that are here with us this morning. Lord, you know each heart. Lord, you know what you want to accomplish. And I just pray, Lord, if there be any barriers, Lord, that you remove those. Any stumbling blocks, Lord, I pray that you remove those. Any forgiveness that needs to be given, any forgiveness that needs to be accepted, God, I pray that that takes place here this morning. God, I just pray that you be with each one of us, Lord, that lost person, those lost people, Lord, in our midst. God, we love them. We're praying for them, God. We know that it's your will that they would be saved. God, we pray that today would be the day. What a special time of the year that it is, Lord, that we gather. We celebrate your birth, God, and understand that that is the true meaning of what this season is about. All God and all man come to this earth to die for a sinful creation, God. We just thank you so much for all that you do for us. God, I just pray you move. Be about our midst. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit that we've already felt this morning. God, I pray that you help me. Lord, help me to present this morning, to preach this morning the way that you would have me to. Help me, Lord, to have the right presence of mind, train of thought. God, every thought. God, your word, God. Help me, Lord. Help us. Help us this morning. Keep a hedge around us. God, keep the devil away from us, Lord. Just let your will be done here today. We're trusting you. And Father, we're going to give you the credit for everything that's done. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You probably wouldn't know it, but you know, a lot of times we get in our mind that we have a thing set up a certain way, but usually it's just the person doing the whatever it is, if you want to call it a program, would even know if you messed up or not. I say that to say this morning, it's one of those days that just feels like things are just a little bit different. I get up every morning, one of the first things I do is I put my watch on. I don't have my watch. I was talking to Brandy, I said, you're going to have to help me keep time. She said, in Sunday school, the service. I said, in Sunday school, I ain't worried about the service. We'll let that take care of itself. And Brother Bradley got here, and guess what he forgot? His watch. Isn't that something? It's amazing how the Lord lines things up sometimes. It's the little things that we were talking about earlier. It's the little things sometimes. And I tell you, if we're not careful, we'll get used to depending on certain things, and we'll stop depending on God. We do that. That's exactly how it happens. And we try to go on about business without the Lord, but that's not the way that he has us to do things. He wants us to always trust in him and trust in what he would have us to do, the way that he'd have it to be in our lives. And so when I say that this morning, we're looking at light, the light of the world. And so I already read this definition, or maybe even part of it, earlier last week in the message, and talking about the condemnation. But why Jesus came? He came to be the light of this world. So we would no longer be walking in darkness, that we would be able to see what's going on. I have different times I've heard some of our young ones asking parents, what does it feel like to be saved? What does that feel like? And I think in this message this morning, it'll give you a good idea, something to think about anyway. When you think about light, it's a very fast happening thing. Light, I want to read this definition to you again because it sets the tone for the very rest of the message. Light, it travels at 12 millions of miles a minute. I don't know of anything that's faster than that. It's just so fast, and it makes objects perceptible to the sense of seeing. It helps you to see things. Without light, you couldn't see things. If you and I were in a dark room, maybe like the caverns, Linville Caverns, it's so dark you feel it upon you, but you can't see anything. Without light, there is no color. You wouldn't be able to see all the beautiful red that we see this morning, all the different colors. You wouldn't be able to see any of that. Light is an amazing thing, but it also, it says here, the sense of seeing, but the particles of which are separately invisible. Did you know that light is invisible? Isn't that weird, Brother Bradley? Light helps you to see, but yet it's invisible.
That's
what causes us to see. If you look straight at the light, you know it's brighter there, but that's what allows us to see. If it wasn't invisible, we probably couldn't see through it, could we?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Kind of like the wind. Kind of like the wind. You don't see it, but you can kind of feel the effects of it, can't you? You see where I'm going with this? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Which are separately invisible. It exists independent of other substances with properties particular to itself. Light is independent. It don't depend on anybody else. Don't depend on anything else. Light is independent. Don't depend on anybody else or anything else. It's an independent substance, if you want to call it a substance. And it has peculiar properties that's just peculiar to itself. Ain't nothing else like light. You can't say light is like this. You say God is light, though. Isn't that something? God is light. And interesting how you see that comes together. It also goes on to say in the definition that the sun is the principal source of light in our solar system. The sun is the centerpiece. Everything else goes around the sun. And that's something, and it's held in place that way. It's amazing how that works out, that it was created in such a way that the light is the centerpiece of this entire creation. The S-U-N. That's the way it's set up. You go back to Genesis chapter number 1. We'll start at the beginning. You know, I like to mention first mentions, but Genesis chapter 1 verses 3 through 5. You don't have to turn there. But what it says here, it says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. That tells me that this earth was dark before God laid his hand upon it. It was a dark place to be. God saw that, and God said, I need light on this earth. We need to be able to see what is going on. And God saw the light, that it was good. Light's a good thing.
Yeah.
I want you to know that this morning, if somebody is talking to you about coming to the light, that's a good thing. It represents good. And also says here, and God divided the light from the darkness. So there is a difference between light and darkness. And God, He called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So you see that is how our time is set up. You have a time of light, and you have a time of darkness. On this earth, prior to this time, it was a time of darkness. And when Jesus came to the earth and he was born, it began to be a time of light.
Yeah.
We start to be able to see things in a different way. And God, and the way he chose things to do, it's not just let me just tell them from here. He said, I will send my only begotten son to walk and to be the light of this earth so you can see. Don't you like being able to see? That's a blessing. If you can see this morning, that's a blessing. I've thought about it. People, I've heard people ask, you know, what sense would you do without if you had to? And I don't want to do without any senses. But you think, if you can see this morning, Brother Bradley, that's a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
See to read God's word, see to read the song book, see to be able to see this earth, that's a blessing. But you know the most important way of being able to see this morning is spiritually.
Yeah.
Your spiritual sight.
Yeah.
I tell you, trying to explain to a lost person what it's like, what it feels like to be saved, one of the first things I can tell you is, I can see. I can see. If one thing changed in my life that I knew right off the bat, as far as senses goes, is I could see everything seemed clearer the night that I got saved. The stars were a little brighter. My outlook was a whole lot brighter. I actually had hope. Prior to being able to see, church, I didn't have any hope. And the Lord made that obvious in my life. Now let's get back in here in verse number, chapter number 8 in John. I don't want to make it too long this morning, but I want to get the point across. You see, when the Lord was saying this here, sometimes you have to go back before and see what he was saying to see why he said what he said.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, there's a bad situation happened right before the Lord said this in John chapter number 8.
Yeah.
Dark and a bad thing took place. So what you had here, you had the Pharisees, and they're trying to trying to trip up the Lord and trying to get him to say things outside the law to prove in their minds that he was wrong.
Yeah.
What you have here, they're trying to contest Jesus. They're trying to pit him against the law of Moses.
Yep.
And he set them straight pretty quick. So what you had these men came in and they found this lady, and then what she had done, she was in adultery. They found her in the very act is what it said.
Yeah.
They thought they'd done something big, caught somebody red-handed. They brought her in. They said, what are you going to do about this? The law says that she's supposed to be killed. She's supposed to be stoned. Are you going to do this? Are you going to follow the law? See, one of the first things you got to remember when we're talking about this last Sunday is Jesus came not into this world to condemn the world, but the world was what? Condemned already. That sentence was already passed on us before he got here. You see, he's our advocate. He came to set us free. Jesus is your friend this morning. He's the best friend you could ever have. He came to set you free. I think sometimes we spend time being afraid of him and afraid of his punishment, afraid of his wrath, but I want you to know this morning, he first came here to set you free. To give you that liberty, to set you free. And you see how they talk about it here, how it goes on down. What are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do about this lady? And how are you going to deal with this? Number one, we see the woman taken in adultery, but you see the Lord's response. Everybody here is guilty. But there's one here that's here and willing to set you free. So when they continued to ask him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. You see what Jesus' response was as he got down and he started writing some things on the dirt, in the earth there.
Yeah.
Writing some things down. Boy, I tell you, you know, when you look at this here, they brought the lady. Where was the fella at? Where was he at? Why didn't they bring him in too? Where was he at in all this? And these Pharisees that were doing the bringing in and trying to do the accusing and all this, when the Lord sat down or stooped down and he wrote in the dirt, I bet they're figuring out, how did he know about that? How did he know that I was involved with that? How did he know all that? Boy, I tell you, you want to shut up the naysayers, start talking about what they're involved with. That quietens the crowd pretty quick.
Yeah.
And you see, here he again stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted on their own conscience, went out one by one. They met their match. So this he ain't worth it. This ain't a battle or fight that's worth fighting. I'm just going to get up and walk on out. This ain't worth it. And you see what he says here, verse number 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where is thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She looked around also, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What she did was wrong.
Yeah.
It was wrong.
Yeah.
She was caught. She was wrong. The Lord said, go and sin no more. See, I think sometimes, church, I'm just being as honest with you as I can be. Sometimes I think we try to conceal our sin and we try to move on, trying to conceal it from people. But hey, what people think, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, it don't matter.
Right.
It don't matter. What God knows matters.
Right.
He knows everything. He knows everything about us. We can hide nothing from him. But look at what he done here. Look what happens next. This is the most important thing. He said, go and sin no more. And then look what he said to the others. Those that were left, I think the Pharisees trying to do the accusing left, but there were some, thank the Lord, there that wanted to hear the truth.
Yeah.
They wanted to see what he was going to do next. You talk about miracles and things that he did, but look what he said here in verse number 12 again. And then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He came here to show us so we could see.
Yeah.
That we would be able to see. If I'm doing something wrong, church, I want to see it and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do right. You see, when you start coming to the light, that's what the Lord illuminates. He illuminates the bad things, not condemning us, but saying, hey, don't do that anymore. Change that. That's his mercy and that's his grace. Think about it again. Why did the Lord Jesus come to this earth and die on a cross? Not just to wipe us out. He didn't have to come and die on a cross to wipe us out. He could have done that, Brother Dale, without coming to the cross.
That's right.
But there had to be a perfect sacrifice if you and I were going to be saved.
Yeah.
There had to be something to take place. You know, sin causes death.
Yeah.
That's the judgment. That's the payment of sin is death. The wages, the earnings of sin is death. And so what is going to happen is something has to die if sin is involved.
That's right. Yeah.
Look at the law. That's what the law was based on. The law, that's why we have the law to teach us and to see the importance of that. That anything that sins, anybody that sins, is going to die. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. But God, Mom, but God. But God, in love and His rich in mercy, not wanting to see us die, He said, you know what? What if I make a sacrifice? What if I make a perfect sacrifice? What if I am that perfect sacrifice? Emmanuel, God with us. What? What if I myself come to this earth and take on this sinful flesh and I live a sinless, perfect life and I go to the cross so that everybody that hears, everybody that's willing to listen, you're going to have the choice that if they have that choice, they accept me, that they can have eternal life. Isn't that a good deal? Remember last Sunday, we were talking about that condemnation. We're talking about pardons, Brother Ben. We're talking about somebody being offered a pardon. How some of these people get pardons, it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
My pardon made no sense.
That's right. Yeah,
my pardon made no sense. Just as guilty.
Yeah.
One said, you know what? I'll come down from heaven above. I'll come down. I'll be that sacrifice. And if you accept me, I'll pardon you.
Yeah.
You see the lady here. She was excited and she was well to take that. She said, and then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. It'll change your life.
Yes.
I don't think anybody likes walking in a lie. If you're trying to live a life of concealment, that is a very burdensome and heavy life to live.
Yeah.
Been there. A lot of times people try to do that. They try to walk both sides of the fence and try to straddle the fence and all that, but life, you just can't do that. You'll give to one or the other.
Right.
You will. And why I'm teaching this morning, preaching this morning, is you need to give out to the Lord.
Right.
Not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You think about how that changed her life. She was shown some love. She was shown kindness. She was shown gentleness. She was pardoned. She was forgiven by God. And she had a whole new outlook on life. Now what she does with her life after that is up to her. What you do with your life after being saved is up to you.
Yeah.
Our fruit should show. We're studying on the fruit of the Spirit. I'm telling you, those attributes, they should show in your life. If they don't, something's wrong.
Right.
Something's not right. Let's go to John chapter number 9. We'll flip over there for just a minute. You see how the Lord shows up in each of these situations. How Jesus Himself shows up in His response to what is taking place. John chapter number 9, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said here, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He's talking about His earthly ministry. As long as I am here, I'm the light of the world. You imagine how bright it was around Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Just walking with him, those that walked with Him, and how if they chose to stay close with Him, how bright their outlook was. It was going to be, what's He going to do next?
Yeah.
Who's He going to heal next? Who's He going to save next? They didn't want to miss out. Church, I don't want to miss out on what He's going to do next here.
Right.
We still live in the grace age.
Yeah.
The Lord ain't done yet. Yeah. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
There's still more work to do is what He's saying. He had more work to do. You say, well, what preempted this? What followed or what happened just before this? Well, there's a man, he was blind. And he was blind from his birth. He couldn't see. As we remember a minute ago, we were talking about that, how sad that would be. How hard that could be. It's amazing. A technology and things that can help people. But I'm telling you, nobody can help the blind man like Jesus. I'll tell you that. But you see what people were doing here, their take on this, it's kind of like, I think it's a lot like Job's friends, Brother Bradley, kind of like that. They wanted to figure out why. He's guilty of something.
Yeah.
He's deserving of this. If you lack something, if you're going through a hardship or something bad is happening in your life, the world's going to say you deserve it for some reason. Your brothers and sisters, if you're not careful, will try to talk you into that too. But they asked him, they said here, look at verse number 1. It said, Jesus passed by, he saw a man which is blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Was it justified? I think we live in a day and time that we see a lot of people that are all about justice. I want justice. I want my fair share. I want justice. This person is guilty. They need to have the death penalty. I want justice. Until they're found guilty. When they're found guilty, it's mercy, mercy, mercy. Have mercy. You see, that's the life, and that's the world that we live in. Everybody needs justice but me. And I need forgiveness. I need mercy. I need grace. I need gentleness. See, the thing about it is, you and I, we're riding in the same boat of need. You and I need to take care of each other. You and I need to look after each other. We need to think about one another, pray for one another, not try to hold one another down, but try to help each other, considering we're in the same condemnation. You remember the two thieves on the cross?
That's right.
Consider not that we're both in the same condemnation, but this man here, the one in the middle, he's done nothing amiss. He's innocent, but we're guilty. You and I can't cast stones at each other. We're all guilty. We're all guilty is what the Word of God's teaching us here. But he's saying here, who did the sinning? But look what verse number 3 says. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Isn't that something? Let's go, look at Job for just a second. He was a just and upright man, probably the most righteous man in the East, maybe even in the world at that time. So why did that happen? His three friends beat him down constantly. Surely you've done something wrong. Do you know what you're going through in life as a Christian right now might just be that God wants to turn that into something big?
Yes.
Do you know that?
That's right.
See, the world looks at the adversary, the adversarial part of things. We see the conflict that has taken place, and then the judgmental side tries to prove that it's the reason it's happening is because the people are deserving of it. But God says, maybe I just want to do something big in your life.
Yeah.
But if it's not that big of an issue, if it's not that big of a conflict, then the world's not going to see how big of an answer of a prayer it is when I answer that prayer. I mean, that's just how it works. You know, I've gone through little things in life and prayed about it, and it seemed like the Lord just answered it real quick. I'm like, whew, that was a close one, but we're on to the next thing. But then sometimes these things draw out forever and ever and ever, and you say, Lord, are you going to do something?
Yes,
somebody needs to do something. It's just going to go on like this if somebody don't do something. Kind of like the servants. We talked about this in Sunday school, the 50 shekels versus the 500 shekels. I tell you, if you're the one that's forgiven the 500, you're probably going to be or should be more thankful than the one that was just out the 50, right?
Amen.
The bigger the obstacle that you have in your life this morning just could very much be the biggest thing that God wants to do in your life.
Yeah.
It's not always about judgment and punishment.
That's right.
Now Jesus, he does, or the Lord, he does. He chastises his own, but it's not always about judgment and punishment. What he's saying here for this man here, he's going to heal him of his blindness just because he can. And so people in the world can see that. He says here, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He's saying this is going to wind down. Time as it goes on, it's winding down. What Jesus was saying here at this time in his life, his earthly ministry was going to end. He knew that. His disciples did not understand that. You and I that live in the grace age, we see it now knowing that the Lord is going to return. But see, we don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know that. But you and I got to work while it's still day. There's no clocking in and clocking out of being a Christian.
Amen.
It's a full-time job.
That's right.
It's a full-time calling. It's a full-time blessing.
Amen.
I don't think you'd want to clock out if you could. That's not how the Lord wants it to be, but you see, that's what he's saying here. You see, this man was blind from his birth. But you see, talking about this solar system and how it's all set up, I see a few things here. The day is equal to the light, and the light is equal to the life. If you look at the way it reads in Genesis, and that's the way it reads through the entire Bible, that's what he's saying here. You see, the Lord created day, and he created the light, and that gives us the life. What do you mean by that, preacher? What do you mean by that? That means what I'm talking about as the S-U-N is the center of this solar system. The S-O-N should be the center of your life.
Amen.
Everything you do should center around Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You say, preacher, you mean that? I do.
Yeah.
You know, when would you clock out? When would you not want him to be the center of your life? Anybody here want to turn the lights out and try to stumble around? Why would you want to do that? That just makes no sense, does it? Light's a good thing. Being able to see, getting close to God, when he illuminates the pages of his word and we can see it and we can understand it, that's where you want to be in life, not running from it. You want to be close to him. You know, again, thinking about having a candlelight service tonight, I wanted to mention on this, you know, the moon at night, it shines so bright. I love taking pictures of the moon. I love looking at the moon and the stars and seeing a meteor shower and all those things, the northern lights and all that kind of stuff. But you know how much light that the moon has? None.
That's right.
Brother Bill, isn't that something? That's the brightest thing in the sky at night when it's full is the moon, but yet it has no light of its own. Isn't that something? And you watch the phases of the moon, and finally it phases out. When it phases out, the stars are super bright. But you say, well, how in the world is the moon so bright? It's because the sun reflects off of it.
Right.
You see, that's how you and I are supposed to be.
Right.
The sun is supposed to reflect off you. We carry no light in and of ourselves.
That's right.
We don't. We don't have that. We don't have that ability. Our works are as filthy rags. We don't have that. But buddy, we can be conduits. We can stand out there and let the sun shine off of us every now and then. It's okay. That's what he'd have us to do. That's what he's called us to do. Let's go to Luke chapter number 11. We'll close out here. Luke 11. You see a little bit of change in context here, but I think you'll get the meaning. Luke chapter number 11, verses 33 through 36. Christian, I want you to think about this. Think about what it's saying. Think about what it's saying here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. That just makes no sense, does it? Neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Pretty straightforward. Well, what happened before that? What caused Jesus to say this? One of the bigger things that had happened in some of the disciples' life and the followers' life, if you go back and you look at it, you see the death of Lazarus. You see what happened here and how, well, actually that was back in John, but you see what happened there and how dramatic that was there. But when you look back in these verses, I want us to see this here. Talking about singleness. Talking about Christians being the light. The importance of being the light here. How much sense does it take for you to light a light and then hide it? Has anybody ever done that? I tried to think about that, Brother Bradley. You know, not, and some still now. The power goes out and it gets dark and you can't see and everything's black. Well, why would you light a candle and then cover it up? That makes no sense, does it? Why even light the light? Just keep it dark. But nobody, it's what it's saying here, and I like how it gives an example. It's talking about a bushel. I looked that up. There's a lot of different definitions, but I think it's a bushel basket. That you'd light a candle and that you would put a covering over that. No man does that, is what the Bible is saying. I want to ask you this morning. If you were the only light of this world, how much light would this world have?
Amen.
How much light? Now the first response would be, well, you know, I ain't nobody and I ain't perfect. Yeah, I'm not asking you that. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus ascended back into heaven, he finished his earthly ministry. He expects to shine through you and me. And I'm telling you, I think a lot of times this is what we do. This is where we fail. We talked about this in Sunday school. I think a lot of times we pray and we ask, Lord, do something. Lord, do something. Lord, help us to worship you the way that we should. Lord, help us to do what you would have us to do. And I told the class this morning that makes as much sense as me giving you a gift. Giving you a gift, and then you saying, help me be thankful for it. How do I do that? How do I do that? You think about when somebody gives you that gift that maybe you've always wanted. I want you to think about the gift of salvation this morning. Let's just talk about what we're talking about.
Yes.
The gift of salvation. And somebody comes to this earth to give you the one gift that you need, the one gift that we all need. And the Lord gives that to us. Let's say, Christian, let's talk to you first. Let's say you've accepted Him. And then now you spend time saying, Lord, I just pray that you would help me to be thankful for what you've already given to me. That just don't make no sense, does it? My goodness. If we could see what they see in heaven this morning, the rejoicing that they're doing there this morning, thankfulness and rejoicing is all we could do. Now, I tell you, if you're not rejoicing and you're having pity parties and you're down and out and all that kind of stuff, the light is going to get real dim.
Amen.
The light's going to get real dark.
Amen.
And people that don't have Christ, they're going to look across the aisle at us. They're going to say, I don't need what he says he has. He's darker than this world is. He claims to have everything, but he complains about everything.
Yeah.
I see no joy. I see no happiness. I see no excitement. They go in and out of the church, and I see no excitement. I see no thankfulness. What do they have that I don't have? What do they have that I don't have? I mean, how do you ask somebody else to help you be thankful? That's your part. Church, that's on you. Jason, that's on me. That's on me. When Jesus went to the cross and he died on the cross, what did he say? It's finished. Church, his part's done. His part was done when he went to the cross. Now, when we accept him, we're the light of the world. If you're complaining about how the world is going and how things are looking, we might need to look in the mirror. How many times have you heard it being said that, boy, the world is a dark place, it's dark out there. Well, maybe our lights need to shine just a little bit brighter. I'll tell you this, even just a little bit of light in a dark place shows up really, really bright.
Yes.
Really bright. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter number 5. It even says it over here. I want to go there for just a second. Matthew chapter number 5. Beautiful thing about the Synoptic Gospels is you get to see it a couple of different viewpoints. Matthew chapter number 5, verses 14 through 16. I'll be closing with this. Prior to this, Jesus was talking about, he was saying how he is the light of the world. Now he himself makes this statement. He makes this comment. Passing a torch, if you will. The torch is probably a good word to use here. He says, verse number 14, he said, prior to that, he's talking about being the salt of the earth. And he comes down to verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give that light to all that are there in the house, so everybody can see. Let your light so shine before men that ye may be able to see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you're here this morning and you're saved and your light is running dim, I tell you, you need to charge your batteries.
Amen.
Don't stand underneath this guise of I'm just not perfect and all this kind of stuff. The Lord has called you to be the light. Now, who here wants to be a dim light? Who here wants to be a flickering light? That messes up everything. I think we got a couple in the house we need to switch out. You go in there and sometimes walk across the floor and it's kind of fickle like that, isn't it? People can be that way. We get motivated at times and we get unmotivated at times because we're human, but God has called us to be the light all the time. All the time. When it looks darkest out there in the world and things are going wrong, that should be our shining time at that time. We should shine brightest at that time. But you think about that this morning. How bright is your light? How much light are you sharing with those around you? How much hope are you sharing with those around you? Our lost children, our lost loved ones that live around about us, how much light are we showing them? How much light are we showing them? I'll say it like this also. You might be here this morning and you might not have the light. You might understand that. But I know there's people here that the Lord is dealing with.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. This is where you need to be. It's one of those times you try to pray for things and pray that the Lord would move in a mighty way and do something. And just like Brother Bradley said, he said, He's here.
Yeah.
He's here. I tell you, we're going to end this way. I'll ask if you will to stand with me this morning. Every head bowed, all eyes closed. No music playing or anything like that this morning. Going to close a little bit different. But I'm going to have a silent invitation this morning just for a few minutes.